Welcome to UK Perspectives. I'm guest host Julie Rinn, director of the Kentucky Women Writers Conference, taking place today through Sunday. Founded at the University of Kentucky in 1979, the Women Writers Conference is the longest-running event of its kind in the nation. We feature workshops, panel discussions, and readings by poets, novelists, nonfiction writers, and playwrights. One of them is my guest today, Ada Limone. Ada Limone is the author of three collections of poetry, Sharks in the River, This Big Fake World, and Lucky Wreck. Her work has won numerous prizes and appeared in many publications, including the Harvard Review, Tri-Quarterly Online, Poetry Daily, and The New Yorker. She received her MFA in creative writing from New York University and has taught poetry there as well as at Columbia University. She is currently finishing her first novel, a book of essays, and a fourth collection of poetry. She lives in Lexington, Kentucky and Sonoma, California. Ada, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
The first question I want to ask you is about that intriguing line in your bio that you're working on so many different kinds of books. It seems unusual to me to publish in three genres, poetry, fiction, and essay. While your three books of poetry were being written and published, were you secretly working on these other projects?
The novel is something that I've had in my mind for probably 8 or 9 years, but I just really started working on it in earnest in 2010. And then while I was writing the other three books of poetry, I was working full-time in New York City as a marketer and copywriter for magazines like GQ, Martha Stewart Living, Travel and Leisure, etc. So in doing that, I actually really embraced the art of nonfiction and then became more of an essay writer. I started writing blog posts and essays and reviews for Harriet, the Poetry Foundation's blog, as well as I have had my own blog for since 2006.
Well, that does sound like a natural evolution then. I find lots of poets who do like to also write nonfiction. It seems more unusual for poets to being compelled to write narrative.
I agree. The fiction in there is probably the most oddball genre for poets.
Yeah. Well, and now you're going to share some of the these correlations in your workshop for the Women Writers Conference, Telling It Two Ways, Poetry and the Lyric Essay. What kinds of things will you be talking about in that workshop?
Well, I am very intrigued with how we come to choose the form for the subject. Because I write in so many different genres, I find that subject very interesting. And I also think that in exploring two different genres, you end up able to define those genres for yourself in a clearer and more concise way. I think we can spend a lot of time trying to define the lyric essay, and if you Google lyric essay, you're going to come up with about a million different definitions and some really beautiful, beautiful explorations of what it means. Same thing with poetry. There are things that are difficult to define, and the way that I approach those definitions or how we explore those things is to actually work on them. It's the same way when I started writing my novel. You know, I hadn't really written fiction before, but I thought, well, if I really want to try this, I'm just going to go ahead and start. So I think when we explore those two things, we're going to take the same subject and write one poem that explores that subject and one lyric essay that explores that subject as well. So we're not going to change the subject. We're going to just change the form.
Your readers and the publishing world know you certainly foremost as a poet, and in fact, you will be serving as a judge, as I mentioned earlier, for the National Book Award in Poetry this year. Awards are so important to poets' careers, and the National Book Award is such a big award. Is that responsibility slightly terrifying?
I would say more than slightly, yes. very terrifying. In fact, I can't talk about the process too much, but I can tell you that I read pretty much every book that came out this year that was submitted. Obviously, you have to submit. But
how many would that be?
I believe it's 210. And I, as we were getting down to the wire of sort of coming up with our, you know, what's rising to the top, I found myself not sleeping for about a good 2.5 weeks. because all of these books and these wonderful poems were coming up into my head. And this has been a really marvelous experience, but yeah, really terrifying, something I'm taking quite seriously, and something I would do again in a heartbeat.
Well, I hope the ultimate outcome is one that you agree with and can feel proud of.
Me too.
We'll all be on the edge of our seats to see who those finalists are. So you've lived in Lexington for about 2 years now. Would you like to tell us what brought you here?
Yeah, I left New York City in 2010 and went to my hometown of Sonoma, California, where I have a small writer studio that friends with property have lent me. Mm-hmm. And my novel is primarily set in Sonoma, so I was there for that. My boyfriend, however, is in the horse racing industry, and of course, this is the mecca for horse racing.
Indeed.
The center of the universe for horse racing. So we came here, and because I can sort of be wherever, most of my teaching is online, and I work primarily as a freelance writer, we ended up getting a little place here, and I've really fallen in love with it. It's just a really beautiful, beautiful place, and the writing community is a really strong, legitimate community in the South, and I think it needs more attention drawn to it.
Well, that's nice to hear. Do you feel like being in this region has had any influence on your work or its themes?
I do. I'm highly influenced by the natural world in general. Mm-hmm. So we live out in the country, and just that different new landscape. I didn't grow up with fireflies, for example.
Mm.
And so Lucas would laugh because I came in one time and I said, "What's with all the field bling?"
I hope that makes it into a poem.
It does. It does. So the new book of poems that I'm putting together is highly influenced by the bluegrass landscape, and I find myself very intrigued by it every day.
Did you bring a poem that you would like to read? Or I also brought one that I could suggest, unless you have one you would prefer.
I do. I do have one I can read. And I thought it might be, what is the word that I'm looking for? I thought it might be apropos for the Kentucky Women's Writers Conference, as well as, you know, being in the horse capital of the world.
Wonderful. I think we brought the same poem.
Oh, good.
What's yours called?
This is called How to Triumph Like a Girl. I like the lady horses best, how they make it all look easy. Like running 40 miles per hour is as fun as taking a nap or grass. I like their lady horse swagger after winning. Ears up, girls, ears up. But mainly, let's be honest, I like that they're ladies. As if this big, dangerous animal is also a part of me. That somewhere inside the delicate skin of my body, there pumps an 8-pound female horse heart, giant with power, heavy with blood. Don't you want to believe it? Don't you want to tug my shirt and see the huge, beating, genius machine that thinks, no, it knows, it's going to come in first?
I do think that was the perfect poem to share with us. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
The Women Writers Conference welcomes men to all of its events, but we only feature the work of women writers. I have to ask you, how do you think women writers benefit from having a conference of their own?
Oh, I think it's a brilliant format to get together and continue the national conversation that's so important right now, which is, in the last 2 years, the VITA count that I'm sure you're aware of.
Yes.
Which is a count that this wonderful organization, VITA, has put together. And it started as really just trying to figure out what were the numbers of men being published versus women being published in some of our most prominent literary magazines. And I don't think any of us expected the results that happened.
Yes, which a little depressing.
It's very disheartening, especially for the literary community. I don't mean to say that kind of disparity is acceptable anywhere, But I think when you're a writer and you're so welcoming and so supportive of your own community, it can be particularly disheartening and frustrating that those numbers are so skewed towards male and white writers.
Yes. Yeah. No, I definitely see that when I see what my peers are doing with other writers' conferences throughout the country. And I see that there really is still a very unique need and place for a specifically women writers' conference. So even though several waves of feminism are behind us, there are still more waves needed ahead, I think.
Yeah, and absolutely. So. And I think this conference in particular speaks to the fact that this national conversation needs to be held not only in New York, but it needs to be held across the country. And I think that's one of the reasons this conference is so important and urgently needed.
Well, thank you. Our guest has been Ada Limon. Her Lexington debut will be this Sunday at 7 p.m., a free public reading together with George Ella Lyon and Sarah Freely at the Carnegie Center, 251 West 2nd Street. For more information on the Kentucky Women Writers Conference, visit KentuckyWomenWriters.org or call 859-257-2874. Our complete UK Perspectives interviews are available at WUKY.org. For WUKY, I'm Julie Rinn.